my thought process is peace over profit. The profit will come if you align it mm-hmm. with your peace. I tell people mm-hmm. all the time, I'm not chasing anything for money. I'm chasing for my peace. If it's meant for me to have, it would allow mm-hmm. my peace, and then the profit will come.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Shronika Holmes. She's the owner and director of Care Coordination. Owner in all caps, by the way. She is a visionary entrepreneur, a wife, and mother dedicated to building legacy through purpose-driven work. As the owner of the Rose Residential Care Home and founder of Better Me Foundation, she empowers both seniors and young men aging out of foster care to live with dignity, hope, and stability, the big three. Known as the Hope Influencer, and don't we need more of that, Shronika uses her voice and her platforms and programs to bridge generations and inspire others to turn pain into purpose. Love that. Welcome to the show, Shronika.
Thank you for helping me.
I like that. We're going to do a round of applause like we're in elementary school. That I'm going to do that. I really like that last point. There's a writer, thinker named Father Richard Rohr who says, if you do not transform your pain, you will transmit it.
Oh, I like that.
So, yeah, you remember, write that down. Clip. This is the clip. Clip this. So, Shronika, tell me what is on your mind.
Oh, God. So, I'm in the season of, let me back up. So as a creative as well, creatives, we're all over the place with our thinking.
Yes.
Because one day I may want to try to sit there and think about, I want to go to the moon. And then the next day I'm trying to think about how to start a business off of a hobby just because I've seen something and I like to do it. But yeah,
I like it.
That's my life as a creative. But in all seriousness, what I've been thinking about lately is resizing my life, my business. And I don't call it downsizing, I'm calling it resizing. So resizing my life.
Is that in case like your husband or kids felt like they were going to get laid off? Like if you say I'm downsizing my life, they're like, whoa, is she about to fire me? Because people get jumpy when you say downsizing.
Right.
So
right. That's why I say resizing.
I love that. I think I've been going through a bit of resizing myself. So I love this term and this idea. So what was the catalyst for you to say what kind of where things are is not a fit for me any longer? Mm-hmm. I got to start making some moves. What sparks that and lets you know it's time?
Honestly, numbers.
Okay.
Numbers. So always, I'm very intentional about looking at my numbers every quarter. And since we're at the end of the year, I kind of looked at last year where I was at and then this year where I am at. And the numbers just was not mathing. And so after talking to a couple of people that are in the same industry as me, and then just looking at the economy where we're at now, I decided I needed to resize. I needed to shift my focus into another purpose and passion of mine, which is foster care.
Gotcha. And obviously outside of this, you and I have talked several times about this. That's a shared passion, and you have a really awesome story that goes even further back than my own. I'm curious in just looking at sort of like doing a temperature check, like seeing the winds, where they're shifting, where they're moving. I love that you want to look at the numbers, because sometimes as visionaries and founders and thinkers, we can just sort of go, yeah, my gut's telling me to. It's like, I think that might just be indigestion from lunch. I don't think that's the next great idea. But when you were talking about that, this concept I heard Alex Hormozi talk about on his podcast, The Game, he said that for a lot of businesses and leaders, there's sort of this accordion effect to where like we do more and then we do better and then we do more and then we do it better and then we do more of it and better. Does that resonate with how you feel like you're moving through and iterating and resizing right now? Is it sort of like you've been doing more And now it's coming, there's a new focus coming in to kind of like do things better as you keep moving forward with your work.
That's a great example of the thought process. It's like, I want to be known as an intergenerational leader, which is serving mm-hmm. both seniors and youth. I call mm-hmm. it a life and wisdom exchange. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with seniors for, oh God, it's like over 20 years now, but been in the small business space of owning my own when it comes to seniors for the past 6 years. And so that's where I started at. And so I always tell people that's where I was supposed to be at that time. But now my mm-hmm. purpose and passion is leading me more into what I always knew that I was going to get into eventually. I just had to wait on the mm-hmm. right timing, which was foster care. And so what you described is I was doing more, and now I'm getting to now taking pieces of more and making them better. So I like to say it's like quality over quantity, like taking what I've learned, resizing it to look a certain another way.
Gotcha. Yeah, this is really hitting home with some stuff I'm not prepared to talk about publicly, but I'll probably share with you after the call. Is you've always had this passion for foster care and that community, but what has working with seniors and especially like within residential care, I mean, there's multiple avenues in which to serve the senior community, but that seems like an unconventional route to go to get to foster care. Is I was about to, this could seem insensitive. We can cut this out if we need to, but I was like going from the aged to the aging out. There you go. That might be, we're going to make that the title of the episode. But with that being unconventional, how have you seen working in something that doesn't seem to relate to what you're moving into? How did that prepare you for this work? Because some people could say, well, that's sort of like wildly different. You're almost starting over. But I don't hear you say anything that leads me to believe that you feel or believe you're starting over.
So I'm really not starting over. The blueprint is the same. The demographic is just different. I'm still providing housing. Okay. I'm still providing housing to a vulnerable population, which is seniors and aging out of foster care. Seniors really, okay, so back up. So for years, I was a geriatric case manager. A lot of people did not know that about me. So I have a professional work history working with seniors. So I always tell people that my profession took me to working with seniors, but my passion is taking me to work with foster care because I was once in foster care myself. So I always thought that at some point I was going to work with foster care. Working mm-hmm. with seniors has given me the wisdom that I need to move forward with foster care. And that's why I call intergenerational living mm-hmm. a life and wisdom exchange, because seniors give wisdom, youth give life. And so when you combine those mm-hmm. two, you get better people. That's why the name of the nonprofit is called Better Me. With that life and wisdom exchange, you just get a better version of yourself.
I love that. And I've heard some people talk through the, I like hanging out with older people because they just, mm-hmm. they give me wisdom and I learn things that I never thought I would really learn. They gave me answers to questions I didn't even know to ask. Mm-hmm. But I've heard older people, whether they are in like that 55 plus or whatever, but even people who are in their 40s or whatever, mm-hmm. which I better be careful how I tap dance around that. I'm inching up on it. Say, I really love hanging out with, whether it's like the youth group at church, serving college students, but just the younger people, just like there's so much energy about them. That they're like, it keeps me young. It lets me know like what's going on. Like it keeps me from being set in my ways because it's just new. It's just like it hitting you. Although I would say not all new things are good. Like making jokes, like dude, the whole 6-7 thing. I don't know what the hell that is about. But we need to break off. That's a generational curse in Jesus' name. We're ending that now. So not all young things are good, I guess, is the summary. So it's interesting you spotted this pattern. I don't think that's always, I don't think that's always evident to people, especially when you feel like, well, I'm doing something I'm good at and I don't mind doing it, but I know there's this thing in the distance. Mm-hmm. There's this thing that has always been with me and I'm not there yet. Something just hasn't let me go, or the stars have not aligned. Maybe Mercury's in retrograde. What helped you start to spot the patterns of preparation so that you could step into your purpose? I was listening to Stephen Furtick this morning, so I'm like all P's and rhyming and all favorite. Sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite. The patterns. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people, you know how some people say God spoke to me. Like, well, what does his voice sound like? Because I'm one of those, you're going to have to like really just tell me exactly what it is. Like, God, I need to see your face. I need for you to call me, pick up the phone in order for me to say that.
Right?
So I'm not that person who says, well, God spoke to me. I'm more of those, that type of person who God has to give me three signs. And if those three things that he sends me and it aligns with, and he makes it easy for me. When I say easy, it's not, I don't have to jump over a lot of hurdles. That's when I know it's meant to be. He gives it to me in three different ways. He sends the right person. It's the right time. It's the right location. And so normally my patterns come from, I have to see it in three, and that's what I call my pattern. And that's okay. Probably not the typical answer that you will get. But also, like, another pattern that I think that I see is like, I always start slow. I don't always just jump into stuff. So I started with the age dot population. So I started with that age group because they're older. I can pretty much, I don't have to break most things down to the easiest term as right. if I was working with 5 or 6 year olds. And so that worked out great for me. I'm doing great with the age dot population. So now, okay, that is going well. Now it's time for me to jump and start serving the younger group within foster care.
Gotcha. It's just a step by step. Yeah. And I love that the thing in threes. I've told people, and even in my own personal prayers, I was like, Lord, I'm dumber than a sack of rocks. You're going to have to make this plain as day for me. And I have wondered if he would text me. And I know that if the Lord texts me, it'd be a blue bubble, because I don't see our Lord and Savior using an Android. But, and I'm going to get some emails about that, and I don't care. Bring it.
From me.
Yeah. But I really love that, because it can allow you to move. I think pacing is, I have discovered, especially over the last 10 years of, I would say, formally being an entrepreneur, I think I always had those tendencies, like going back to fourth grade when I was selling Pokemon cards and making some money there, which apparently the teachers didn't appreciate my go-getter attitude because they shut my operation down. But over the last 10 years, I have discovered pace makes such a difference. Mm-hmm. But I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. And what I hear when you talk about, like, I need these three signs. You can go biblically and say, let everything be established out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. God does create patterns. I mean, he created all this. He created this microphone. But how has pacing played a role? Because one of the things that I've appreciated about you, and maybe this is just a point of connection, is we're both high energy. I want to say assertive, because that's a healthy term, but I've been called aggressive. I move mock Jesus with my hair on fire. And I think you may have gotten some similar comments. But how has pacing started to play a role in your development as a leader and an owner and an influencer?
So how has it played a role in pacing? So pacing has allowed me to focus on the quality instead of the quantity of what I do.
Okay.
And so when I say quality, that means do my due diligence, not lean on my own understanding. Because I feel like when people go at a faster speed, they are only going off of what they think they know or what they know instead of pacing themselves. They can go out and seek mentorship, consulting, coaching, do their research in its entirety before they know what they're getting into. Normally, people who take off without doing any due diligence, in my opinion, just what I've seen is they're not as successful as the person who paces themselves and does their due diligence when it comes to like business or just research on the type of business. I coach people all the time in this space, the group home space, and they always have this thing, oh, I want to own five group homes. And I'm like, in your first year? And they're like, yes. I said, well, I would just, let's focus on the one. But they're trying to focus on five. I'm like, if you focus on one, you get the blueprint for that one. Let's master one first. And then I've seen with people who say they jump all in, and then 6 months they're in burnout. Then they're trying to downsize.
Right. I think that because this is a podcast for leaders, and we're typically the ones who like to move at a faster pace. How do you, when you're talking with folks about like, hey, we got to focus, we got to get this one instead of five, but sort of help them bucket like, okay, you have a vision for five. Let's just move that. Like, because I think you either get people, in my experience, once I start coaching somebody, I find out you have those that are enablers. Like, they're just like, I probably couldn't move at that speed. I'm just like, I'm encouraged that you have so much hope and faith for the future. Like, just go. It's awesome. Yay. And it's like, you're not helping that person stay healthy. Then you have the other people who are like, that's dumb. Like, you could never do that. And it's really cynical. So it's like two ditches almost. Mm-hmm. What do you do to help leaders who maybe they have a big, beautiful vision for their future? They want to move towards it because you can get really excited by a big future, but that pacing will allow you to build a vision that can withstand all the pressures that come with it and all the trials and tribulations. Can't have one without the other, apparently. But how do you help hold those things to where you don't discourage the leader and help them focus, but you also don't go, yeah, that's great, knowing that they're just going to implode, like you said, and be in burnout in 6 months? That seems like a difficult tension to manage.
Yeah. So whenever I bring anybody in, I put a disclaimer out there from the beginning. I'm like, I'm going to be brutally honest with you. And sometimes it may come off as me being negative or not being as encouraging, but it's coming from a place of love. Some people, you'll be surprised how many people value transparency over sugarcoating the situation. And then what I do next is I invite them into my world, because it's one thing for me to tell you, one thing for you to see it on social media, but I found that when I invite people into my world, and that means, okay, you want to own a group home? Come spend a day with me. Come sit down and talk to staff, sit down and have a conversation with family members. See what my day-to-day looks like so that five that you wanted to open, now you'll see why you should just start out with one and master it, because it's a lot. People see this life on social media from people who are doing the work, and they think, oh, she can do it. They don't see the work that went behind the scenes of it. They didn't see the tears. They didn't see the late night. All they see is your five, Sharonica. They didn't see your one, Sharonica.
Yeah.
So I always put the disclaimer out there. I'm going to be honest with you out of love. And I'm going to do it in a tactful way, of course.
Sure.
And then I'm just going to invite them into my world.
I love that, because I think imagining things from a distance works against us in two ways. One, we can romanticize it, like, oh, five, yeah, that'd be beautiful. I saw Sharonica on Facebook post this, and she's got it all together. Like, I don't even, what all, she just speaks at conferences and goes to Fiji, and she's got five homes. It's no big deal, apparently. Not seeing all the, like you said, the blood, sweat, and tears behind it. The other side is we can grow the size of a fear or something like that, or a challenge, to where we don't get into the reality of it and go, oh, that was actually easier than I thought it was going to be. Like, that was actually approachable. I could do that. All the different memes and things that you see about the life of an entrepreneur is you can go from like believing you're going to conquer the world to almost suicidal, like inside of the same like hour. Like, oh my gosh, I'm the dumbest human who's ever lived. I'm screwing up everybody's life. My family's going to be homeless. And then the next moment you're like, you know what? I am God's gift to this thing. Makes us seem crazy. Right. But I think so much of that can come from we didn't go and spend a day or whatever that looks like. Sort of the if you're selling a physical product, the as a salesperson, I always tell you, like, put the product in the buyer's hand, mm-hmm. right? Because then they can experience it. What you're you've talked about how you've invited people into your world, but that and that's great. But what I have found, and for a lot of people who do that and see that value, they're doing it because they didn't really have that provided for them. They had to go and self-feed. They had to go mm-hmm. And find out. What has helped you or motivated you to go and spend a day with someone else doing something you wanted mm-hmm. to do? Like, how do you approach that? Because I'm sure other successful people are hit up all the time. Got a minute? Let me take you to coffee. Let me pick your brain. I'm like, I don't have too much of it left. Right. So how do you find those opportunities? Because there aren't always people like Shronika around who would say, come with me. Let me invite you in, even give you just a day of mentoring and coaching, mm-hmm. which is awesome. But that's the exception rather than the rule, at least in my experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how do you find those people? So we just talked about assuming earlier. Don't assume that everybody's going to say no if you just ask. Hmm. One thing that I've don't always assume that I'm going to say no. A lot of times people are intimidated by what they see, that they're going to automatically assume, oh, she's not going to invite me in. She's not going to allow me to pick her brain. Of course, picking the brain comes with a price a lot of times. And so I always tell, just to take the pressure off of me, if they're serious about it, they'll book it with a link. I'm not going to mm-hmm. go back and forth. This is just me being 100% transparent and honest.
Yeah.
And then you have some people that would just say, okay, just come in, just ask me questions, do whatever. But those people, that's probably their first year in business. After they get mm-hmm. burnt out with that, they're going to start attaching a fee with it, you know. And so I always tell people, don't always assume it's going to be free and don't always assume it's going to be a cost to it. Just ask. I mean, the worst thing that you can get is no. No has never killed anybody. And if that person says no, go to the next person. And then find the person who is in your budget. I would tell people, yeah, this is my price. I don't have an mm-hmm. alternative price, but these are some people that may let you in mm-hmm. within your budget. And normally those are like first year people who are just getting into it. But just ask. Like, that's how I go find people. First of all, I don't ask assuming it's going to be free. I always say, hey, do you mind sending me how I can book to come and spend a day with you? Because I just hired a consultant. In real life, I just hired a consultant for the business, new business that I'm about to open mm-hmm. because I don't know what I'm doing. So why would I? You're going to spend more money trying to figure it out than you are going to the store. People don't realize that. And so that's something I had to learn. So And I just simply asked her. It was somebody who I met at a conference that I was speaking at. So she was speaking on the same platform as me, talking about this. And I just went up to her and said, hey, can you send me your book link? I would love to come and visit and spend a day with you and see what this life is really like before I commit to a yes that I'm going to do this.
Right. That's really good. And some of that just has to do with just keeping your mind and your eyes open for mm-hmm. those opportunities. And one thing I have found really helpful, I can't claim ownership of this. If I say anything smart, it usually came from someone else. But Jason Fried, who was one of the co-founders of Basecamp or 37 Signals, which is a big project management communication platform that I'm a fan of, he said it's more helpful for you to find someone who's just a few steps ahead than someone who's at the top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So many people would look and say, like, I'm wanting to start a business. I'm going to go see what Elon's doing. I'm going to mm-hmm. go see what Apple's doing. I'm like, they are doing astronomically different things than you mm-hmm. are. Not that you couldn't maybe one day get there. I don't want to, like, be a wet blanket. But finding somebody, like if you're just getting started, finding someone who's at year 3 to 5 mm-hmm. or something, just a little, like it's still fresh in their mind of what happens. Mm-hmm. And they probably have better context because Lord knows our world and our environment is changing rapidly, in large part because of AI is just transforming the way in which we live and show up and what it even means to be human. And that feels like a separate podcast for another day. But have you found that to be beneficial, is just not finding people who maybe if you're just getting started with the first, like going back to your 5 versus 1, like some, if you're just getting started with one house, going and talking to somebody who has 50 locations, their advice may not be helpful to you today. It may be a few years down the road. Is that something that you look at or think about when getting your own education, is finding people that are just a few steps ahead? Or how do you integrate wisdom whenever you get it? Because it's one thing to go spend a day. It's another day to make it useful.
Yeah. So I normally try to go to somebody who is in the middle, not just started out, because I don't feel like they have a lot of trial and error experience. But I don't want to go to the person who has 50, because 9 times out of 10, they're not going to have time for me. And
right.
If I'm going to spend my money, I want to spend my money where I feel like I can get the attention that I'm paying for. I normally try to go to that person that's like in the middle. Maybe it's not a total newbie. Maybe he's been in the business for at least 3 to 4 years. Still has that fresh mindset of he can tell me the trial and error. Because normally when you hire somebody, you're really paying for the experience so that you don't get in the same, you don't experience the same trials as they did. Right. Like you pay me to prevent yourself from making this costly mistakes. I'm teaching you, like, no, I did this, made this mistake. I don't want you to make it. This is how you're going to do differently this time.
Yeah. Yeah. Something I feel like I'm hearing through several of your answers is this value of time versus money.
Oh.
Can you talk about that and maybe where that comes from for you?
So I'm at a point in my life, I'm in a season in my life where I choose peace over profit. Now, back in the day, it was different because as a small business owner, when you're just entering into the entrepreneurship world, only thing you can think about is how I'm going to feed my family. How am I going to pay my bills?
Right.
Now that I'm established, my thought process is peace over profit. The profit will come if you align it with your peace. I tell people all the time, I'm not chasing anything for money. I'm chasing for my peace. The money will come if it aligns with my peace. If it's meant for me, for me to have, it would align with my peace and it will make me money. Now, what I'm not saying here, I'm not going and saying anything that's not going to make me money. I just lead with peace first. And then the profit will come. Like I get people, for example, I get people all the time that call me and say, hey, I want to do what you do. Well, what do you think I do? Oh, you take care of seniors and you do foster care. Okay, what is your experience in that area? Well, I heard that you can get paid X, Y, and Z from this. And so they lead with the money first. And I'm just like, well, which one do you have experience with? Which one are you passionate about? And most of the time, these are investors or people who are real estate investors or people who just want to make a quick dollar. And normally those people don't do well with me because I just can't in good conscience coach somebody who is doing something solely for the numbers, the money. And that's simply because you're probably not going to be successful. And if you're not successful, more than likely you're going to blame me because you're going to say, well, she didn't teach me right, or she didn't tell me this. Your passion will keep you in it. Your peace will keep you in it. The profit will come.
That's really good. Because I think, at least in my experience as an entrepreneur, like you can get that, like, I got to feed. And even if things are going well, you're like, well, if I let up, then, you know, it's all going to crumble around me, which is still like, it's not a form of peace. And that's hard to balance, is like to stay hungry for the work, but also not basically destroy yourself in the process, because usually first casualty of most entrepreneurial ventures is your spouse and your family relationships. Mm-hmm. You included those things in your bio: visionary entrepreneur, wife, mother. What are some of the lessons you've learned in how to balance those? Because you can make the case those are each full-time jobs in and of themselves. To be a successful entrepreneur and give it the time and attention it needs, to be a wife, a spouse, that's a huge relationship. And then obviously we want to raise our children in a way that they're prepared for the world and they can go out and be successful and do what God's called them to do. So how do you balance such strong forces pulling on your time and attention?
So I get this question a lot. How do I balance? And I tell people it's no such thing as balance. It's prioritize. Like, I prioritize where I want my time to be spent at. And so as a woman, especially being a mom, a wife, small business owner, advocate for vulnerable population, that's a lot. It's no way that you can balance all of that. And when I think of balance, I think of how are each one of those pots getting the same amount of attention, the same amount of time from me. It's no way I can balance out all of that. So I just call it, what's priority? What is priority for this day? What is priority for this month? And that goes back to me when I said earlier, choosing peace over profit. If I choose peace, then I can prioritize correctly, you know?
Because
I don't have anything, I don't have the money pulling me where I feel like I have to do the hustle and bustle that's going to take me away from being a mom, a wife, being an advocate. If I choose peace, then I can prioritize where I want to go because I don't have the profit or the hustle of trying to make the money take me away. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you really have something that acts as a compass for you, that a lens by which you can filter opportunities, decisions, roadblocks, things like that. How long did it take you to develop that to where you're like, no, these are my principles by which I'm going to live and make decisions by, and these are going to keep, I hesitate to say the word safe, but it's going to keep me aligned with what I believe and who I am and who I want to become. How did that get shaped for you?
Again, trial and error, burnout. By year three, I was completely burnt out because I like for things to be done the right way, and sometimes done the right way can almost feel like micromanaging and being perfect. And so once I realized that, and by year three, I was realizing really fast, I'm paying people to do a job, let them do it because I'm getting burned out. And so by year three, I was at a point where I'm just like, yeah, I'm not going to be chasing any. I'm no longer going to chase money. I'm going to chase my peace. And part of that is delegate. So I've had to get really good at delegating, which is really hard for me. But I'm delegating to people who I'm paying. So let them do their job. Because it used to be where I would just go in and see the mistake. I would just fix it. I wasn't developing leaders by fixing the problem for them. You only develop leaders by showing them this is the problem. And I'm really one of those people who now don't come to me with a problem without a solution. This is a problem. What's the solution? That's how you develop leaders. Yeah. And that's where I got to the point where I was like, I'm tired of problem solving for everybody. You're going to have to do it yourself.
Yeah, you end up feeling like the chief everything officer, even though you've hired people. One of the pastors of our church says all the time, he goes, more is caught than taught. And which is, he was always emphasizing, and he would say that like in parenting topics and different things, is like, you can teach, and that's good. By all means, instruct, teach, share knowledge. He goes, but whatever you model is going to speak louder, like the whole action speak louder than words. And I love the bring a solution. I use a method. I didn't originate it, but with my clients, of the 1-3-1 method, which is, can you state in like one sentence, what's the problem? What are we talking about? Because I saw a quote that said, a problem well-defined is half solved. So if we don't even know what we're talking about, why are we trying to create a solution? Bring three potential solutions and tell me the one you believe to be right. We could work through it, which sounds a lot like what you're doing is, hey, bring me your ideas. Let's work through it so you can build the muscle to solve this more effectively in the future. And not, hey, come into my office, leave your monkey on your desk and head on out. Like, no, take your monkey with you.
Right.
I got a big enough zoo at my house. I don't need more people contributing to that. This is a great conversation. And one of my big takeaways is just that focus on protecting time, which I think goes into the pacing, the piece. It's just all the letter P's that we could fit in one conversation. Maybe we set a Guinness record. I don't know. But I think that's such a huge key to maintaining health and longevity in doing work, especially if you feel a strong purpose in it beyond money. Like you said, follow the peace and your purpose and the money and the profits will come. If somebody's listening to this and they're like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm going to burn out. I feel this weird sense of urgency that is pushing me to move at a pace that maybe it's good. Maybe this is what the high performers are doing and they have imposter syndrome. If they're wanting to get really clear on their own purpose, their principles, the piece that could guide them and that is meant for their life, what's something they could do in the next 24 hours spending little to no money to start to establish those in their life so that they can stay on course for the long haul?
Good question. I would say simply start with writing down what's not bringing you peace. Like what is taking up space in your life that's not aligning with your values? What is not aligning with your peace? What are you having to force into your life because anytime you force something into your life, you're not really going to enjoy doing it. So just sit down and make a list of what's not bringing you joy, what's taking up the majority of your time, what's interrupting your peace, and start with those items and simply make a plan to eliminate them or delegate them. Eliminate or delegate.
Right. Or if you're a nerd or you know a nerd, automate it, which can be fun. I really love that. It's almost like that concept of a to-don't list. Instead of a to-do list, and I've been experimenting with clients in some sessions about the tension between this is where I'm going, this is what something is, this is what it's not, just to create that clarity, because I hear a lot of clarity in the things that you're sharing, and I think it's harder than ever for leaders, especially young leaders, up and coming leaders, to find their clarity as opposed to just borrowing from somebody else's, because that's got a short shelf life.
And so, and one thing that I see young people do, you hear this term a lot called booked and busy. Oh, I'm booked and busy. And I'm like, I do not ever want to be booked and busy again. I want to delegate and make deposits. That's it. That's how I want my life to be. Delegate it and just wait on the deposit to hit. You know?
Yeah.
We have got to get out of this mind frame that we have to be booked and busy in order for it to look. That's what success looks like. That is not what success looks like.
Yeah. Busy does not mean productive.
Right.
And activity doesn't equal progress. But it's sometimes if you don't have that compass to guide you, it's hard for you to tell those two apart. Well, Sharonica, this has been so fun. And I think we have probably 12 more conversations that we could venture down, and those will be exciting and fun. If somebody wants to know more about you or follow up with some questions, what's the best way to connect with you? Or do you have a booking link? Because you don't want to go back and forth. What's the best way for them to connect with you?
So the easiest way with everything on it is if you go to the website, thegrouphomeconsultant.com. Simple. Everything on there to get in contact with me is right there on that website.
All right. And we will link that up. And we have a couple of other links. You can go check out the Facebook page, connect on LinkedIn and Instagram, those sorts of things. And you can see all of the wonderful things that Sharonica is doing and putting out in the world. Well, thank you so much, Sharonica, for dropping some wisdom and some knowledge. This has been a lot of fun. Leaders, thank you for spending part of your day with me and Shronika. Like, we enjoyed it. We hope you did too. We hope that you learned something, but you had a little fun along the way. And if you did, if this made an impact on you, please like, rate, review, subscribe, whatever the action button on your platform of choice is. I would deeply appreciate it. Leave a comment. Let me know what was your takeaway? What do you like? What sort of conversations do you want me to get into? I enjoy doing this work, but I do it so that it is valuable to you. And I can't do that unless you tell me, because I ain't got time to guess. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.